Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferraci, your health and wellness resource, where you get the whole scoop and nothing but the scoop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Whole Scoop. And guess what? Tonight we are broadcasting. I am so apologize for our last show where we just couldn't make it work. But we are rescheduled. We will reschedule for November 16th. It'll be a special show. So we are going to be doing that show. So anyway, I am your host, Carol Ferraci, registered licensed dietitian. You'll find me at naturallynutritioninc.com. The Whole Scoop, as you well know, we are a health and wellness radio show where our guests are always highly credentialed in their fields and on the topics of discussion. And all of that being said, you know it's important for me to bring you the best of the best, and that's what we're doing tonight. The show tonight is Restoring Balance Through Cranial Unwinding. I have to do the business and tell you that while our guests are highly credentialed on the topics of discussion, it's always recommended to seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on this program. So the number to call in is 347-855-8894, 347-855-8894, and you can also direct questions and comments to our Facebook, The Whole Scoop Blog Talk Radio Group. And if you haven't joined us, you should, because we're always looking for new things. We're always looking for your feedback. Our guests get on there. They post new things. They tell us about specials they're running. They give us different things. Get on there. Let us know who you are, what you want to do, what you want to hear. I'm booking for next year. And if you've got new ideas, I can't be the only one thinking of this stuff. I'm open and for all possibilities. So please let us know. That's the Whole Scoop Blog Talk Radio Group. We also have a website, www.thewholescoopradio.com. That's where you're going to find more information on our guests than what I give you on the show, because I like to do an intro on the show, but you want to hear from our guests and not just me reading to you exactly what they've done. So as much as that's impressive, and it's always impressive, you still might want to hear, see a little more. So go to thewholescoopradio.com and follow us on Facebook, 347-855-8894. Remember, the last four digits of the telephone number is what you're going to hear. If you want to ask a question, press the number one to get in the queue for questions. And the last four digits of the telephone number, you're going to hear me say when we're calling you, it's your turn to ask the question. So I kind of like garbled that a little bit tonight. I don't usually do that. So if it's not clear, okay, the last four digits of your telephone number is important, because that's what you're going to hear if you're going to be the one up for questions. I think I got that one right. Anyway, so who do we have tonight? We have one of our favorites back. I have to say that. I mean, you know, you're not supposed to pick favorites, but I can't help it. This guy, he always, every time, he never disappoints this show. He always has something. He's a plethora of information. He's fun. He's just knowledgeable on all kinds of topics. I'm so pleased and so honored to have him back. We have Paul Pock with us tonight. If you are just joining us for the first time, I'll tell you who Paul is. And for those of you who don't remember, I'll tell you who Paul is. He is a licensed massage therapist who, out of frustration of attempting to treat a client in pain, developed a technique called cranial unwinding, which has become a widely accepted practice among massage therapists specializing in pain management. Paul is well-known and respected therapist who teaches seminars and workshops throughout the U.S. and Canada, sharing the cranial unwinding technique with fellow therapists. He is a certified core structural integrative therapist and a somatic educator and chair mentor to the Board of Massage. And at some point, I'm going to have him back, and he's going to explain each and every one of those things, because I know you guys think that I know what those are, but I have a guess. So anyway, he's here to talk about restoring balance through cranial unwinding, because it is his topic. So without any further timing on this, let's bring Paul out. Say, Paul, hey, buddy, how are you?
Awesome. I am so excited to be here. I love talking about the work. It's just so wonderful. Thank you for letting me come play.
No, honest to God, I know you've been doing this for a while, and I say it every time you're on. We talk about, you know, this technique that you've developed, but then it occurred to me when I said to you, hey, Paul, do you want to do the show? And you said, hey, you want to do cranial unwinding? I'm like, you know, we never really did that. We never really did define that. So, I mean, what better thing to do than to take the show and just say, let's tell people who you are and what you did and what, you know, what you created here. So you want to just start with what is it?
Well, sure. First of all, let me just clarify something.
Okay.
I observed something. It's all I did was observe something. And it was so funny. I was in a Jensen Jitsu class a few weeks ago. And, you know, it's all about energy and energetics moving through the body and, you know, and how you feel for release and all this stuff. And you know what? All I did was observe what's been observed, you know, since, you know, for thousands of years, is that, you know, that we all possess, you know, energy, biomagnetic energy. We all possess the ability to help each other heal. Now, some more than others. Some, you know, I've taught a lot, and what I notice is that, you know, it is a skill. It's like, but it's like any other skill. You have to work at it to develop it. And what I observed with my cranial unwinding that I teach is that I, you know, work with energy, but like unlike a lot of energy workers who, you know, like, oh yeah, I do this, that, and I don't want to dish anybody, but there are very specific physiological things that take place that I feel for. Your brain deepens the center of your brain, or what are called ventricles, and this is where your body produces a fluid called cerebrospinal fluid. And your skull and your brain expand and contract as your body produces and reabsorbs this very precious fluid that cleanses your brain and nourishes your brain and floats your brain. And these movements are critical for your health and for your brain's health. And the whole goal of the cranial unwinding is to restore these movements, restore this balance. And it's you know, it's not about guessing like, oh, I think I did. And or it's like, no, this is what needs to occur. And when these movements take place, I can put my hands and take measurements of your pelvis, and you'll find that it's level, even if it hasn't been for years, decades. And you know, we do measurements of the occiput and the first atlas, you know, the first vertebrae of your neck. And all these things must line up in order to really, you know that you've achieved a process, achieved the desired result. And through the years, I have perfected this. And it's not like I perfected it, no one can. It's like, no, I teach it. And it's just, but it's just about observing and allowing the body to find, you know, a healed place, a place of balance. And
okay.
I don't like it. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I'm rambling.
I'm gonna back you up a little bit. So I'm just gonna say, if I'm listening to this and I hear that you're a massage therapist, I'm assuming that I'm on your table and you're doing some kind of massage. So I kind of, remember, this is radio and we don't have the luxury of actually showing pictures while you're talking so that people can see what it is that you're doing. So I'm saying to you now, let's just kind of back it up a little bit and let's say when you're working, you're actually working at the base of the skull and the neck. Is that correct when you do this procedure?
I can do it from feet. I can do it from the sacrum. My favorite places are from either the head and neck, or from the sacrum. And you can also work with, there's a whole bunch of nerves that innervate your foot, and you can work with this movement. You can feel the flexion and extension of the brain producing and reabsorbing the cerebral spinal fluid throughout the whole body. And so you can technically work at it anywhere in the body. And I do from several different places. And they just happen to align with, you know, energetic lines for acupuncture and energetic lines for, you know, many different traditions. It's just, you know, it's been observed for thousands of years. It's just, you know, it's just a way of observing and working with the body.
Okay, so...
Still didn't answer your question, did I?
No, you did. You did and you didn't. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get people to have a visual or an appreciation of what this means. It's not your basic massage. This isn't something like you, and I'm not, you know, dissing anyone for anything, but I'm using this because it's nationally known. This is not massage envy where you walk in and they can just do this technique. It's a very structured, not necessarily structured, but it's a highly, it's a highly educated technique where the therapist actually has to be astute as to what, like what you just said was, you can feel the fluid. Why don't you repeat that? Do me a favor, just repeat what you said. You feel the in different parts of the body, you can feel the restoration or something, right?
Yeah, you can feel the energetic flows, and it sounds really airy fairy, like ooh, but it's actually human physiology of what's going on. You know, like you don't think it's like, you know, if someone put like, you know, like these electric, an EKG or an EEG, and they put it on your body and they could see your brain waves and tell if you were lying, you wouldn't think it was like a mystery, like, oh, that's magical. You'd go, no, it's science. You know, that's because mm-hmm. the heart produces a biomagnetic signature, the brain does, and there's a lot of them. That's what your microcurrents that they use to help the body heal. That's what they're all based on. And a trained practitioner can feel those currents and rhythms too. And it's a matter of attuning yourself to feel that. And I guess what I really want to tell, you know, what I always think of when I hear that is I think of somebody, you know, and there's not really a very specific result that's going to take place. You know, and kind of this etheric thing like, oh, I feel better, which is great. But I think structure should change. Pelvises should line up, you know, cervical vertebrae should line up, you know, cranium should line up, that you should have a very specific, you know, thing that took place. And, you know,
can I help you out here for a second?
Just as, dude, because I know for, it makes so much sense to me, but I'm trying
closure.
To make it sense for your radio people.
Yeah, no, I'm going to do a full disclosure here that I've had you work on me. And, first of all, you're fabulous, and if anybody hasn't gotten that already, please understand that Paul is a fabulous therapist, and he has done major things. But I'll never forget, I think the first time I saw you, that I came to you, you stood me in front of a mirror, and mm-hmm. and you probably do this just second nature with everybody, and it's just something that you do, but for me, it really just stood out. You stood me in front of a mirror, and I had earrings on, and you said, look at your earrings. And I said, okay. And he said, well, do they line up with each other? Are they right across from each other, or at least close in proximity to each other? You see this left one, it's like up in the air. And I was standing straight. I was standing aligned. And you said, you're not aligned. Look at that. And when you were done with me, you put me back in front of the mirror, and you said, now look. And the earrings were aligned. That's the kind of thing that I think you're trying – that's the kind of point that you're trying to make, where things have to be aligned, and you may not even feel that they're off like I didn't. I mean, you know that something's off because you're seeing a massage therapist, but you don't know that – how far off you are when you see little things, what appear to be little things that aren't really little things, in the whole scheme of things. And so when you're doing this cranial unwinding, you are resetting and restructuring to restore that ultimate balance of flow so that everything will go back to where it's supposed to be. Is that would that be fair to say?
Very fair. Let me tell you just a real quick story. I had a fellow that came to see me, and he had horrible back pain. When I did that, you know, sticking the fingers in the ears, and because he didn't have earrings to look at, and put my hands on his, he really misaligned. And I said, "Oh, you were a forceps delivery." And he goes, "Yeah, how did you know that?" It's like I could look at his head and tell him that he was. And then when I put my hands on his hips, one side of his hip was underneath his rib cage, and high. Like one side was about 7 to 8 inches higher than the other. And, you know, he informed me that this was a type of scoliosis, and, you know, there was nothing I could do for it. And in somewhat of a smart aleck, and I asked him if he'd mind if I fixed that today. And, and he assured me that I couldn't fix it, so it would take surgery. And I explained, you know, what I was going to do. And, you know, he really was not – he was an engineer type. And all this energy stuff was just complete and utter out of his realm of possibility. Totally didn't believe in any of it. And so he gets on my table, and I'm doing the work. And as you know, the energetic part is, well, energy. And he goes, "What are you doing? It feels like you're doing nothing," you know. I tried to explain, and I gave a long explanation. And, you know, he just got madder and madder because he was now here wasting his time with some kook.
Which is what I call you when we're off air, but no big deal.
Yeah, we all know that I am, but not about this.
Actually, Paul is not. Absolutely is a fabulous. And when he talks about energy, he's right there. He totally just tunes in. So please disregard anything. Do not take my word seriously as it relates to him being cute, because he's not.
So when he stands up for the first time since he was born, because they had traumatized his brain. This is called birth trauma, and his pelvis was up, you know, and misaligned because it was lined up with his, you know, with, you know, the way his cranial structure was, for a lot of different reasons. But when he stood up, his pelvis was level for the first time. He's now in his, you know, late 40s, and he stands up and his pelvis is level, and 95% of his pain is gone. And he did not only did he not believe, he actively was like really like pissed off. Like, why am I wasting my time with this crazy man? And because it's not, you know, you can believe in gravity and it doesn't care. You know, you can believe in X-rays or radiation, and it doesn't care. You know, it just is. And this is the energetics are the energetics, and his body was designed to have a level pelvis and to have, his cervical vertebrae. There's a very specific place for them to be. And because of the birth trauma, his nervous system didn't know this place. And all I did was just reintroduce this energy. And biomimetic energies, it tells the cells to reorganize. It's like, you know, if you run a magnet over some iron filings line up. And the same thing happens with the magnet. And so it just realigned his structure in the way that his DNA had set it out to be. And I do this all the time. I mean, I've all over the country, all over the place, you know, every day in my office, I do this, and everybody's always amazed, like, wow, you're like, how did you do this? You know, and they think that it's something that it's not. It's simply science. It's good science and a good understanding of physiology and how you restore, you know, balance. And to me, it's an everyday of cool.
I think it's a little, I think it's a little more than that, because a good understanding of physiology is one thing, but actually understanding what you're feeling when you're touching someone as a therapist, and being able to feel that and put that back to where it needs to be, that's a highly skilled technique, Paul, and I think you should give yourself credit for it. I really do. And I'm saying that because not all, massage therapists are not all the same, just like dietitians are not all the same. Everybody specializes in different areas. Everybody does different things. Doctors are not all the same, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But please give yourself some credit, because what we're talking about tonight is something, and that example that you just gave, I mean, that's breathtakingly amazing that you gave this man an opportunity to feel the way it's, to feel his body the way it's supposed to be, when he's been told his entire life that he would never be able to get that without surgery. And I'm still trying to figure out how surgery was going to ever do that.
It was going to make it worse, okay? And I've seen that too, where it really does screw things up. Now, I'm not saying don't get surgery. That's not – do not hear that. There are times you need it.
Right.
There are times that you don't. And, I could tell stories all night of just what happened this week. Today alone, what understanding and working, with the body, can do. And the just
that might not be a bad idea to give us another one, just because I want people to really understand that what we're talking about. And I'm going to make a point, then I'm going to ask you to share another story. And the point is this, the guy on your table actually said the point that I was going to make, and that is, it doesn't feel like you're doing a whole lot. And all I know is that I'm laying on this table, and whatever you're doing, you're not really doing a whole lot, at least it appears to be. But then when you get up from that table and you feel and you see that you're completely different than when you first went on that table, it's absolutely amazing. Because when you have craniosacral therapy done, sometimes it feels like nothing is happening. But you, as the therapist, you're feeling all kinds of things, right?
Yeah, if you're a good therapist, you're understanding what's happening beneath your hands. And I had last night I had a girl, she's 26 years old, and she hated to be touched. And because every time it touched, she was too painful. She hated massage. And she had headaches all the time. And I, looked at her and I thought, oh, gosh, yeah, of course you do. Complete, misalignment of the cranium and the upper cervical vertebrae and her pelvis. Was able to realign these structures. And I do this all the time. People always ask me, how come you can touch me and no one else can? And it's like, because I understand the first thing I have to do is balance the nervous system. When I say balance the nervous system, this isn't it's an energetic balance, but it's a physical, like you physically realign stuff. And I don't do it. The body does. And, I tell people when I teach, look, I'm going to do something and I'm going to make it look so easy. You're going to wonder, you're going to go, wow, that looks so easy. And it is. Once you've mastered it. But it's like a good calligrapher. A good calligrapher writes these beautiful letters and they make it look so easy, but then when you try to do it, you realize, that's not that easy.
Right.
And it is to them because they practice their art.
Mm-hmm.
So I practice my art. I practice my art every day. It's just my pleasure. I get to go to work. It's awesome.
That's fabulous. So, tell us what kind of conditions have you worked on? We kind of get it that it's pain management, but I'm sure you've seen some chronic conditions that people have been in that does this kind of cross the gamut, or is it limited to something?
Well, this is the. It crosses the gamut. What I can do is help balance the nervous system, help balance it physically, like the structure. And when you do that, when you take off all the noxious input going into the spinal cord, all of a sudden the body, quits, fighting itself. And the body quits, the nervous system is no longer overwhelmed and can begin to heal. And what I just tell people is, what we'll do is we'll do this and then we'll see what happens. And, what I can tell you is that what I can do is we'll realign the pelvis, the structure, and the upper cervical vertebrae, and which means everything else, and then we'll see what happens. I had a lady who came in, and she'd had all sorts of low back and knee problems, and it was a trauma. She'd actually had jaw surgery because she had some misalignments that caused her jaw to be out, and they tried to fix it surgically and made it worse, and she was in horrible pain. It took, a couple treatments before she was out of pain. And all of a sudden, I'm just treating her head, but her knee and her low back pain go away. And the reason for that is your brain floats in your skull, and your spinal cord drops down through hole in the skull called the foramen magnum through your spinal cord. And if your cranium is up and lifted to one side, the spinal cord is attached. And so is your pelvis moved up and over to one side. And it becomes very apparent. It's just, me pulling on a blanket. You don't pull on the top of the blanket and say, look, Carol, the bottom of the blanket is moving. You would just say, well, gosh, Paul, it's connected. It's not ooh, it's no mystery. But whatever goes on with your neck goes on with your low back, and vice versa. Whatever goes on with your low back goes on with your neck, because the spinal cord, is connected, and hopefully. And what happens to one happens to the other. And so it's a global thing.
We're pretty good in healthcare in general of separating and compartmentalizing everything in the body. So we're not real good at kind of with the concept that everything is connected.
No.
So that's a concept I kind of want to talk about a little bit more. I you mentioned before that you could feel a change when you're even working in the feet. And that might have made somebody kind of like raise their eyebrows a little bit and say, so talk about that a little bit, because everything is connected, and the feet are real indicators for what's going on in the body, are they not?
Absolutely. Well, you've got your reflexology. I mean, again, there's much ancient wisdom about that. There's what's called the Babinski reflex, which is that if you stroke the side of a baby's foot, it's going to curl its toes in and its big toe up. And that is the Babinski reflex. Now, interesting reflex. But the big toe is a major point of balance, and where you learn to balance and walk. Without your big toe, you have to completely relearn how to walk. And so there's a tremendous amount of neurology and reflexes that go into your big toe. And Carol, this sounds so strange. I even feel weird talking about it, but I had this is a woman. She's an attorney, and she has scoliosis, and I was treating her Wednesday morning, to be specific. And so I'm, I'm working with her big toe. And she's an attorney, so you can imagine it's just kind of like I'm an attorney, and you're working with my big toe. And it's like, yes, I am. And I explain I'm working with, the Babinski reflex and, the neurology of what's going on, and this has huge connections up into your brain. And, And, you know, we've got to find your place of balance because of the scoliosis has thrown your pelvis off, blah, blah, blah. You know, I have a whole story that is correct. But, so I'm working with her toe and, you know, energetically, you know, letting it unwind and just gently doing some movements on it. And her right leg starts jerking and going into spasm. And she's very perplexed at this point. And then she has a huge pop in her back. I mean, just like a big pow. And and she felt so much better. And then, you know, and when I went to work up on her neck was all of a sudden she's like, oh my God, my neck is so soft and it feels so good. And it had relaxed, you know, just her whole body just by working with, you know, the big toe. And it's, you know, I feel even weird talking about it, but I just know that this is what I do every day. And every day I get really good results. And every day, you know, I'm very busy and, you know, my biggest problem is not me.
You really are very busy. You stay busy. And that's a good thing. Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing. And I love my job because it's like I'm a massage therapist, and if I don't produce a result, if I don't get people well, they don't come to me. You know, they don't pay me. And I don't have a business. So my business is based on getting results, period. And I hold myself to a very high standard, you know, of accountability, you know, professionally and, you know, and getting people well, you know, and, you know, so I just, it's incredibly important to me that people understand that it's a very real thing, you know, just like acupuncture and other, you know, things. Like, I can't fix everything, but there's a whole lot of things I can really help with and, you know, calming the nervous system down.
Right, Paul? You have your own story. I mean, I know you've told this story before on some of the shows that you've been on with me, but, you know, I think it's important for people to understand that you were given your own set of limitations or alleged limitations. And if you wouldn't mind sharing that story again so that people understand that you know of what you speak, even from a more personal perspective.
Well, you know, for me, growing up, I, you know, played sports and I grew up in Texas and we like to mix it up, brawl, and I was, you know, I like to go to, you know, bars and mix it up and have fun and you know, get in fights and, you know, and I did a lot of those things and played sports and was in a number of, by the time I was 25, I'd been in 5 major automobile accidents. And by the time I was 30, I was in horrible pain all the time. I, you know, went to doctors and there wasn't anything they could really do. They just told me I had to learn to live in pain. And I became really clear that if I wanted to get well, I better figure out how to do it because all they could do is give me drugs or surgery. And if I got adjusted, the chiropractic adjustment, I would go into spasm and for a month and couldn't move. So I was in a real pickle and in constant pain. When I got into massage, it was out of self-defense and just out of a own just personal desire to live because I was living in hell with pain. Here I am 30 years later and doing what I love and helping people out of pain and every day thinking, you know, having people say to me, you know, I didn't think I could be out of pain. I didn't know that I could get well. And I go, thank you. You know, and it's funny, they're grateful to me, but I'm so grateful that they showed up because I know what it is to be in pain. I know how that is. I know what it is to have to live like that and to not know what to do. And I, you know, I don't fix everything. I would never claim that, but I help a lot of people. And I think, to me, that's a life well lived.
That is most assuredly a life well lived, and you know, there's nothing better than just loving what you do every single day, and that comes through with you all the time. And I know your clients feel that. And that attorney, when you were working on her big toe, I bet she left saying, and I have no clue, but I bet she left saying, "You can work on my big toe anytime because I feel so much better." And
yeah.
I think that's the point
to
make.
She said, "If it was anybody but you, I wouldn't." You know what I mean? You said, "But
yeah.
It's you, and I know you. I know, you know. I know that you know you've helped me when nobody else could." And so I was like, "Yeah, well, you'll just have to trust me on this one." I'm always glad when it works out. You know, I'm always glad when it works out.
So you mentioned car accident. You mentioned some chronic conditions. I'm looking at the blog, and we have a question. And it says, "Will this help with somebody who has MS?" And I guess that was the point I was trying to make before. What about people that have conditions that I don't think we're talking about you curing anything here, Paul, but maybe we are. You tell me. But, you know, can you assist with that? Can you assist with MS? Can you assist with, other issues similar to that, lupus or whatever? No? You have that experience.
Absolutely. I can assist. And Carol, then this comes into your realm, you know, because there's so much great documentation now about, you know, curing MS with diet. And there's a lot of stuff out there, you know, the paleo and getting off of the allergens and stuff. And what I can do, typically what I've noticed with MS is there's a structural component that goes along with it, of misalignments of various structures, neurological structures that are, structures that are very important neurologically. And what I can do is I can help those back into function, good functionality. And then they're going to need to work on the diet, and they're going to need to work on, other things that, go along. I always feel like I'm better as a team member than I am as the, I don't mind being the star, but I really think it takes a whole lot of people to help someone get well, because we all have our individual journeys that have led us to various aspects of healing. And, this was mine, but I have other people who, like with you, that their journey to healing was food, and that's an incredible important part of it. I play my part. I really do. But that's
well,
my part.
Well, you bring up a really good point. I mean, there's a reason why there's an interdisciplinary team approach to healthcare. There's a reason why we have pharmacists. There's a reason why we have physical therapists. There's a reason why we have massage therapists. There's a reason why we have dietitians. It's not just about the doctor per se. It's about all these different areas that everybody's been specially trained in to come together and look at that particular person. And sometimes where we fall short with a traditional approach is that we, I think I mentioned this before, and we compartmentalize things, and doctors are real good at it too. You know, if you have an ailment in your back, I'm gonna send you to an orthopedic person, or your leg. If you have an issue with your brain or something, I'm gonna send you to a neurologist. And the neurologist and the orthopod don't necessarily speak all the time. Not that they don't like each other, but just that they don't always communicate with each other like we would think that they would, and some do. So I'm not trying to be unfair about this, but but you know, we as patients would think that they are talking to each other, and they're not. And they may be in the same healthcare system, because now with health insurance, we all have to be in the same system. But that doesn't necessarily mean they talk to each other. They look at their part, they treat their part, and they send you off to somebody else. And I think everybody knows that whole shuffling kind of thing. They get that. But what you're talking about is something that is so much more than that. You're talking about getting to that person from your perspective, getting to know that person physiologically from your discipline, and then working with other disciplines to enhance that person. Everybody does their part and actually looks at that particular person from their perspective, but then comes together and talks about it, or at least is able to communicate about it, so that the whole part of the whole person is then looked at and treated. And I think that is the difference right there. So yeah, you do your part, but you're right. There's a lot of new research out for MS and diet, and paleo is one of them. Gluten is another. Is it a combination? It depends on the person. A lot of it depends on the person and what you do from a dietary perspective. But at the same time, though, I'm gonna kick them back to you, and I'm gonna maybe kick them over to somebody else to look from their perspective. And so maybe then all those little components play a big role in the ultimate health of that particular patient. And I think we need to keep making those points, because we don't do a very good job traditionally to let people know that everything is connected.
Yeah, and we don't. And I don't ever, you know, it's like I don't want to, you know, think, oh, I'm the only one. You know, I'm Paul, and I have some really good skills. But you're Carol, and you have some amazing skills. And you know, like you know, gluten, you know, if you, you know, have a gluten intolerance, it's a real thing. And, you know, I love shellfish. I have friends that if they eat shellfish, they're going to die, you know.
Right.
And
so how many people do you know take glucosamine and to feel better, and they actually say, oh, that didn't work, I actually felt worse, and they don't even understand that glucosamine comes from shellfish. And if you have any kind of situation at all where you have an intolerance or God forbid, an allergy, that glucosamine is not going to work for you. So you have to really work with people who understand these things.
Yeah, I really do. And I don't, I know enough to know that I don't know. I don't typically give, you know, dietary advice, you know, to any great detail, very, you know, broad swipes. But, you know, it's like if I have someone who has, you know, like MS or whatever, I go, you know what, you know, you need to really look at, you know, your food tolerances and, you know, get some allergies and do some things, you know, to shift that. So, you know, so I, you know, but I, can I play
so,
a part? You betcha.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess we're going to go back to this question on MS. Then the answer is yes, that you do play your part and it does help. And that through time, if you work with, you know, we kind of got off on a tangent, but we really didn't, because if you work through an interdisciplinary team, and most of us are connected, most of us will point you in the right direction for, you know, well, I think, you know, just like you just said, you know, you're gonna kick them over to somebody like me. I'm gonna kick them over to somebody like you, and we're gonna, you know, kind of work together for that person. And so yes, the answer is yes, this can help, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I work in an office with, you know, three acupuncturists and the psychologist, and I also one day a week I go and work at a physical therapy clinic, you know, and work with some, you know, traumatic brain injuries, things like that. And, you know, and I have on my team, I have, you know, neurologists I refer to, I have physiatrists I refer to, I have chiropractors I refer to, I have you that I, you know, feel very comfortable referring people for dietary information. I have, you know, I have acupuncturists, and I want people to get well way more than I want to be the star. You know,
yep.
I want people to be the star in the room.
And I think that's the key. Let's make that point, Paul, because, you know, if you're working with if any of you out there are working with healthcare practitioners, if you want to know how to pick a healthcare practitioner, I want to talk about how to pick somebody to do cranial unwinding, but I also want to talk about just picking a healthcare practitioner. If you're picking somebody who says, I'm the best and I'm going to do everything in the world to make you, you know, so much better and it's going to be fabulous all the way around, blah, 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 and you should come to me and nobody else. I personally and professionals, my professional opinion would be to run away from that person. How about you, Paul?
Mm-hmm. That's a giant red flag. And
yeah.
I see it all the time. My doctor doesn't want me to see anybody else. Well, okay, well, first of all, are you getting well with your doctor? Why are you here to see me? Because you're not getting well. And, well, he wants to see what he's doing is working. And then I have to ask him, well, is it working? Well, no. It's like, okay, well, it's not working and you're not getting well. So, you know, what, you know, why would you do that? And I would not
right.
do that to anybody.
Right.
You know, it's just like, no. And typically, you know, if they're that insecure, they don't, yeah, I don't know that they have your best interest at heart. I think they have their best interest at heart. And
yeah, and that's the point to make. I mean, you know, somebody can you know, kind of blow their own horn a little more than what you needed to. If you've got somebody like Paul who says, hey, you know what, I'm just Paul, and I'm going to do everything I can for you, versus somebody who says, no, you know what, I'm gonna actually make you a whole new person and I'm going to have you feeling so much better that you're going to wonder why you never met me, I would definitely go with Paul. So that's one thing. But let's just take it a step further, and before we take a question or two, let's talk about how you pick a cranial unwinding person, somebody who can do this, Paul. Because you're not the only, you know, you're not the only one there, and you're here in Orlando, and people who are listening may not be. So if they're looking for this technique, what do they do? How do they find it? And how do they know that they found somebody that actually can do it well?
Well, I think finding somebody who is taking cranial unwinding is important. There are a lot of cranial sacral therapists, and you should try, you know, cranial therapists. You know, try a good cranial sacral therapist. There's what's called SPET training, or it's a structural energetic therapy, and it's by a fellow named Don McCann, and he teaches a different type of cranial work, but it's still a very effective cranial work. And so there's a lot of effective cranial work out there, and you need to find somebody really, you know, specializes in that. And and then, you know, go there and see. Are they producing a result? Are they helping you? If the answer is yes, then you found your person. And I think personal referrals are the best way. I don't advertise, you know, I just, you know, I'm word of mouth. And have been my entire career, and I, you know, so it's just for me, it's, you know, I count on, you know, other people referring to me. And, you know, I have doctors and patients and, you know, and I stay busy just, you know, because of word of mouth. So talk to your friends and see who they got help from. And, you know, that's always a pretty good indicator. Like, yeah, that person really helped me.
Yeah, that is a great indicator, actually, because if you don't help somebody, you're going to know that. If somebody doesn't help you, you're going to hear about that. And then the person that really does help you, maybe you haven't been moving real well for a long time, and then this person, everybody wants to shout from the rooftop that, you know, somebody helped them. So that's a great indicator. And I'm so glad that you stay busy that way, Paul. That, you know, again, I don't need to do an intro with you because you know, you're just like a walking intro. you're just so good. And I'm so grateful that you do this show with us. Thank you.
I'm glad to, I'll shout it from the rooftops. You know, this is amazing stuff. And, you know, and Carol, what you do is so important. It's getting the word out there. And you know that there's so many people who are really good at what they do, and they have a real passion for getting people well. And they have their path that they do it. And, you know, thank you for providing a platform for us to, you know, get the word out.
It's been fun. And in 2018, we're going to do a couple of new things. And at the end of the show, Paul, I'm going to call you. And I just had a brainstorm. So I'm going to call you at the end of the show. Something I want to do.
All right.
I want to talk about it yet until I... What's that? You'll answer the phone?
I'll answer the phone.
Okay, good. I appreciate that. Thanks. With that being said, let's take a call now. I will tell you that, and what I didn't get to tell you, Paul, was our last show, for whatever reason, didn't even get broadcast. We couldn't even get it. I'm hoping that we're working with the phone. Yeah, so I'm going to say caller 5436. Okay, 5436. Hello. You're on the air. 5436. Okay. Going once. That's not working. Okay, let's try another one. We got another question here. 4416. Hello. Welcome to the whole scoop. Okay, I don't think our phones are working tonight. 4416.
That's
disappointing. Can you hear us? Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to say I don't think our phones are working, and I am apologizing profusely for that. I'm going to find out what's going on with Blog Talk on that one. But if you if we didn't already answer your question or is something you want to say, do it through Facebook, and I'll check it right now while we're talking. So Paul, let's kind of do a little bit. We've got a little bit of time left. Not, you know, we got a few minutes left. Let's kind of do a kind of a wrap of this. If I'm a person that is kind of new to the whole area, like you just said, you said my doctor this, and is it working for you? It's a big step to go to a massage therapist when you've never done it before. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to share my first experience with a massage therapist, if that's okay. And this
sure.
This is somebody that, you know, I was in a situation where I'm going to say I used to have fibromyalgia, and I know that's kind of a foreign concept, but like when you do some of the things that I've done, I don't have that issue anymore. And I was in pain constantly. I mean, constantly. And my neck, I had hurt my neck for whatever reason. I don't even remember how. And I wasn't able to move. And I was working in a healthcare facility, and I, through insurance, was able to obtain some physical therapy through the therapist that I was working with in that facility. And I ran the course on physical therapy. And it was a physical therapist who said, I think you should try massage. Have you ever thought about it? Of course, at that point in time, for me, that was a completely foreign concept. And who is this person recommending massage therapy? You know?
Yeah.
So, and that was before the internet, and, you know, it was when we had the phone books. So it piqued my interest enough, and I went through the phone book, and honestly, I'm going to put it out there that a lot of the advertisements were like massage for men, by men only, for women, and only women.
Yeah.
What's that?
No, I'm just laughing. I remember those ads.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the phone book. I refused to go in the phone book.
Yeah. Well, here I am, this absolutely novice at this whole thing, and I'm really a traditional kind of person at the time going, oh, my God. And there was this little thing in the middle of all that that said deep tissue unwinding or deep tissue massage, and I think it had the word medical in it. And I called that number. And now after seeing all of those ads and really being freaked out, I get this person on the phone, and honestly, believe me when I tell you that I grilled this person for like 40 minutes on the phone. Tell me who you are, what do you do, how do you know what you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've been grilled many a time.
Yeah, and then when I got to her, it was time for me to, like, take my clothes off in front of this person, and I'm like, oh, no, that's not happening.
Mm-hmm. Don't think so.
Yeah, don't think that's happening. And you know what? I knew she was good when she just said, all right, fine, you know what? I'm okay with whatever it is that you want to do, and we're going to start very slowly here. And so I developed a relationship with that part, and she was the only one who got me out of pain. She's the only one that worked through all of the neck issues that I had. She's the only one that it turned into a relationship where she was the only one I actually trusted when it came to anything. And it was because of her that I opened my mind up to other areas and other things that were happening from a healthcare perspective that traditionally we don't even look at. So,
yeah. I think that's really important. Can I say that I wanted to talk about something tonight, and I did not do it.
Sure.
Do we have time?
We have a little bit of time. Go for it, because the phones aren't working, and I'm just
First of all, I do many a session, with people fully clothed, and I'm just doing creative work and energy work, and I do a lot of that, and they love it. I mean, I'm just busy with even that kind of work. I think it's incredibly important to honor people and where they're at. There's some people who are not shy, or modest, and there are those that are. And it's incredibly important that you go to a therapist that's going to honor your boundaries. And if they don't, well, then you don't need to go to them, because there are other boundaries they won't honor.
Right.
But what I wanted to talk about was in last year at the University of Virginia, Dr. Jonathan Kipnis discovered that something that I was always taught that the brain had no lymphatic system. And Dr. Jonathan Kipnis discovered through a new dissection technique that the brain, in fact, had, a huge lymphatic system. And that simply because, when they dissected brains, people were dead, and these vessels would simply, they were, weak, and they would just, shut down because they weren't filled with fluid. And he is a world-renowned, and this is a huge discovery, that the brain has lymph in it. And because it was always that the brain, just simply diffused fluid through it. And but what this does for the medical world is, I'm just going to quote him, altering this finding that the meningeal, which are the membranes of the brain, have lymphatics in it, will alter the course of the disease. Finding and treating the lymphatics of the brain will alter the course of many chronic diseases like Alzheimer's, and other degenerative brain diseases, because what happens is the brain simply it's the most energy intensive organ of the body, and it has 100 times more mitochondria, which are the energy powerhouses of the body, than your muscles do. So imagine your brain would be if it were a muscle, would be 100 times bigger than it is now. That with that energy is a tremendous amount of waste products that your brain constantly has to pump out. And your degenerative diseases occur when the brain no longer pumps out certain proteins or certain disease is it becomes, well, clogged, and then it becomes inflamed, and then these diseases start. Well, you know, for, you know, massage, one of the best things it does is move lymphatic fluid. And when you work with a cranial therapist, you know, these rhythms that I talked about, the flexion and extension, the expansion and contraction of the cranium, when you understand how to work with these systems, you can literally pump the brain in, of extracellular fluids, and you can do a tremendous job of moving the lymphatics through, opening up, you know, the various channels to move fluid through. And they can measure this, you know, now with, you know, with MRIs and things like that. We're now able to look inside the brain as it's functioning. And so when you understand the mechanisms for how the brain removes the lymphatic fluid or the, you know, the garbage of the brain, you know, the waste products, when you understand the movements, you can actually facilitate and work those movements and do what I call the brain pump. And it's one of the favorite things that I do for people. And they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe I just feel so clear. It's like someone, you know, like made my life more colorful. You know, I can see so many more colors, or I just feel so clear. And it's because I have literally, just like a massage, a good massage will, like, you know, milk the muscle and pull the fluids out of the muscle and rejuvenate the muscle with new blood and things like that with, you know, by manipulating, you can do the same thing with the brain. So getting good cranial work, getting good, you know, massage is incredibly important for your brain health and on a very real level. And I just see it on a daily thing. It's like, you know, get your brain pumped. It's a good thing.
I'm so glad you made that point, and we are a little bit over on time, but I am so glad you made that point because it is so true. And I did read that article, and I was amazed at that article because it does answer a whole lot of questions.
It does.
And
it does.
It really does. Amazing.
And it validates what we do. You know,
right, and
how we can help.
And it makes so much sense because, you know, we could be here all day talking about Alzheimer's and plaque buildup and, you know, the apoprotein and all of that stuff. But guess what? If you don't drain it, it's got to go somewhere. So
it's got to go somewhere, exactly.
There it is. And you
if
know,
you don't,
it makes a,
yeah, mechanically open it up, you know, it's it ain't rocket science. I always tell people it's just good fluid mechanics. You know, unkink the hose.
Yep.
Unkink the hose and you'll get a lot better result.
Right. It's kind of like draining the sludge from anything. It's just, you know, that sludge it's got to come out. And then, you know what?
The sludge
then
is toxic.
I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say, what are we doing for your liver? What are we doing for your kidneys? Because those are the organs that are going to pull all that out and get it out of your system. And so if you're not being nice to your liver and you're not being nice to your kidneys while you're getting this tune-up from your massage therapist, you can't really eliminate all the stuff that you need to eliminate. And then, you know, we also have
that.
To be nice to the heart because the heart has to pump the blood and has to – so you see everything is connected. So when I
it
say
is.
Be nice, I'm saying that nutrition actually is the physiological chemical component to enhance all of those functions in the body. So what you put in your body matters, just like what you do with a car. You're not going to put sugar in your gasoline tank. You're going to put gasoline in your gas tank. You're not going to put diesel fuel in. You're going to put gasoline in your tank. You know, if your car runs on electricity, you're not going to put gas in it. You're going to put electricity in it. So you have to give the body exactly what it needs, just like you have to give the car exactly what it needs. You're not going to throw gasoline in the transmission. You're going to put transmission fluid in the transmission. So you're going to give the liver some milk thistle. You're going to do some other things. You're going to give the kidneys some nice nettles or something, and you're going to enhance their functions and their abilities to do the jobs that they were supposed to do while Paul's doing, moving all that fluid, and now all of a sudden your brain is working, your kidneys are working, your thyroid's working, and you feel, you really do feel like a new person because you did get a real good solid tune-up.
Because you are a new person. Your cells are regenerated, and you are anew again.
Yep,
absolutely. All right, well, I bet we have to go.
Yeah, that's a great way to end, though. You are new again. And I think that we should talk again, and we should thank everybody. And I apologize again for the phones, but I will figure this out. I'm just very grateful that we got the broadcast tonight and that we did get a couple of questions in and we made some fabulous points. As usual, Paul, you're amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Well, thank you. So you back at you, Carol. Thank you. All right.
And we're gonna say see you, Paul. And we have Kamari coming up on November 9th, and Kamari's gonna talk to us about she is a master intuitive healer. So she's going to talk to us about all kinds of things, about how to get in touch with yourself and how to actually understand what's happening. So it kind of goes hand in hand with what you're talking about, Paul, from a physiological standpoint. She's going to do more of the mental component of that. So it should be very interesting.
It's all together. It should be very interesting.
Yeah, it really is.
Listen, I can't wait to hear that one.
Yeah, I want you to, and feel free to call in and join in if you'd like, because
all right.
Kamari's fabulous, and she's somebody that I've known for a long time, that I have tremendous respect for, and if there was one person that I know that's actually stepped out of what we knew to be a traditional lifestyle and went right into what passion was, This is the person. She just took her life and made it her passion, and she does it every single day. It's amazing. So everybody join us on November 9th for Kamari. Remember, we're going to do Dr. Raj Hulan. We're going to talk to him on insomnia again on the 16th. We're doing a special show on the 16th. We're going to get the promo out on that now. Because we couldn't do the show last time, so he's going to talk to us about sleep apnea and insomnia and all those things and things that you guys have been asking me for, that we had a great show planned, and it didn't happen, so we're going to make it happen. So on that note, everybody, we're going to say goodnight, and
good night.
Tell everybody we'll see you next time. Paul, thank you, and we'll be back with
thank
Paul
you.
For sure. Okay,
all
good
right.
Night, everybody.
Good night.